You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
And we're back for another season of Hey Kids Comics.
Hooray, we're back.
Yep.
And there was much rejoicing.
So what's happening? What's going on?
I don't know. Do we want to get into it right away?
We want to talk about...
No, I don't have enough to talk about, so let's fart around for a while.
Okay.
Well,
that's a nice picture you just posted there, Mr. Collins.
Yes. It's actually not. It's a terrible picture. I was going to make a comment like, ugh, my angry face... My mopey face, but I posted a picture on Facebook and Instagram just of me in the waiting room.
There you go.
In the lobby, in the foyer.
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
Ready to go.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
It has. What?
It's been a summer.
And it's been a while even since I've seen you guys.
There you go. Yeah but you've been busy.
Writing comics.
Yes.
Published comics.
Moving.
Online comics.
Yes.
Awesomeness.
So, tell everybody, Canuck Adventures, let's go.
Canuck Adventures, kids comic, aged 3 to 7 is the target demographic for that one.
What if your kid's like a really brainiac at 2.5? Can they read it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If they're a brainiac.
I always wondered about that, like Lego, it says up to age 99.
I was just thinking.
If you're 100, you get like,
you're out.
Oh, I don't get to play anymore.
You're playing Lego and they come over and they break your fingers and they're like, not for you.
You cannot have this anymore. Sorry,
no
go ahead.
Lego.
I interrupted you.
Yes, that Canuck Adventures that I wrote, Andrew Thomas did the art and Donovan Yashik did the colors. And so this is... The Adventures of Captain Canuck. He's a bear.
Yep.
It's a kids comic featuring all of your favorite Chapter House, chapter verse related characters.
Yep.
It's a team up book that's going to be released digitally, starting in January with an issue a month. So it's a monthly comic running for 2019, and we are having some print copies of that one available at the Tri-City Comic Con. Which is the convention next weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, in Kitchener. What are the Tri-Cities? Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge?
Yeah.
That's the three?
That's them.
So it's going to be at the Tri-City Comic-Con, which Richard Cumley is putting on that convention, which I'm really excited for.
Yeah.
And so we'll have physical copies of issue number 1 there. And we should... probably be able to have physical copies of all the issues available from like Andrew and myself at conventions, but it's not being like solicited or anything at the moment. And then at the end, we're hoping to get a Chapter House trade paperback.
Nice. You guys are going to have to pick me up a brochure from the con.
Okay.
Because of the cover. Right?
The cover art with Captain Canuck?
Yeah.
That somebody in this room owns?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say anything about that yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyways.
There's Oliver's last name?
Castaneda.
Oliver Castaneda drew a very amazing Captain Canuck image for the cover of the program.
Yeah. He's a great guy and he's an awesome artist.
Yeah.
You've been talking about Oliver for as long as I've known you. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I bought that Lady of Wrath? Wraith?
Yeah.
Lady of Wraith? Yeah. Lady Wrath?
Wrath.
I don't know. I just remember
Tomato. Tomato.
I just remember a really cool movie called The Wraith with Charlie Sheen.
With the motorcycle.
Oh, Sherilyn Fenn. Gosh,
Sherilyn.
I like that movie. Anyways, super detailed pencil work in that book. Like, holy moly.
Yeah.
Just amazing. And, of course, this cover is equally as detailed and stuff like this. And it's a possibility that maybe somebody in this room purchased the original art. Maybe, possibly, but we're not sure yet.
Yeah.
Maybe the PayPal already cleared. I'm not sure. I just don't know how much we can say about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're Dan's going to be there with a booth, with a table.
Yes.
I'll be there as a visitor, but I've offered to volunteer, so you may or may not see me either at Dan's table with Dan or substituting for Dan as he runs to the bathroom. And might help out Andrew Thomas, too, with the same thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday? 3 days?
Yeah. 3 days.
It starts at like 4 on Friday, which is nice.
Yeah.
So, I booked a hotel room.
I was just in the car right here. I was like, oh, that's what I was supposed to do today. I still haven't booked my hotel.
There you go.
Because I don't have the internet at home, so it's difficult to do stuff like that.
Yeah. I fired up the 4 hotel reward app. Apps I have on my phone, and I was like, okay, who's got the best deal? So,
what's the go-to on Friday?
When's the go-to?
Like, 4 to 8 or something?
4 to 9, I think it's.
Literally, I'd have to hop in the car after work at 4 and drive up, come back on Saturday.
You can do it. It's not that far, is it?
Oh, we
like 2 hours.
Christine and I do it all the time
because
her sister and brother all live there. So, yeah.
So it should be good. Should be a good show, I think.
I just have to stay away from the Kitchener warehouse.
Yes.
After hours, because I can't spend everything I make.
Trust me. There's nothing at the Kitchener warehouse of love when there's a comic convention
going
on.
Oh, it's all at the thing.
Yes. Maybe they'll be at the thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It wasn't my fault. They were closed.
I'm looking for a Green Lantern 87, so any of you vendors that are vending out there, save me a copy.
Lantern?
Yeah.
Like volume...
It's the last one I'm missing from the Neil Adams run. I have all the rest, so.
Nice. Do you remember, this is a flashback, do you remember like probably a year ago when we were talking about this thing that we were seeing on eBay where people were selling their 0.5 slabs?
Yeah.
Because the first one I ever saw was the first Neil Adams Green Lantern cover, and I really wanted it because it was affordable. And then it went up to like $300, and I was like, no, like I could buy a better one than 0.5 for $300.
Yeah, for some reason. And it's still going on, too. Like, there's a lot of people that are 0.5-ing. It's just ridiculous. It's crazy. It's almost as silly as some goofball trying to get a graded copy of Captain Canuck #1 from every single grading company on the planet and willing to send 5 books to Australia.
Yeah.
So they can get a book graded by...
Got a 9.8.
By Halo.
Halo.
Apparently there's another grading company called Ace. I haven't seen them yet.
No,
so
I haven't heard of them.
I might have to submit a book to Ace. But yeah, Halo.
Halo. So Halo.
We're going to send some books to Australia to get graded. Yeah. All the ridiculous things we're going to do.
Let's see if they get back faster than the other two companies.
Oh, no.
They probably will.
Well, I submitted those two books... Kids, every time you buy a comic collection, look inside the front cover of your Bronze Age books. Just don't bag them and throw them out. Look inside. I looked inside a Justice League of America, and there's a nice George Perez signature. Cracked open an Iron Man that we got at the Lakefield Flea Market in that pile of comics we got off that record vendor. Mm-hmm. And there's a Jim Starlin signature. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. So I sent them off to CBCS at the Toronto Comic Con in the spring. Was March?
March.
They came back in August.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is a very long time.
But, you know, I mean, we keep talking about the need for a Canadian solution, but I'm still thinking unless it's CGC opening up an office, it's just not going to fly.
Yeah, or CBCS.
But like, even today, you're still got people on Fleabay saying, you know, oh, CGC is better than CBCS, and CGC, if you're buying it to flip it, make sure it's CGC and all this stuff. I got both, and I think they're both fantastic grading companies.
Yeah.
So I don't see a difference in finances, but there's still a bunch of elitist snobs out there. Can you imagine elite-ish snobs in our industry?
Never.
No.
It's not possible. Way.
It has to be perfect.
So other than that, last week, Chris and I went to the grand opening of the new Comic Book Addiction location in Whitby.
Yep.
So Steve down there, fantastic comic shop. A lot of us Peterborough expats ended up buying comics from Steve when things kind of went a little south here in Peterborough and there wasn't a really good place to get comics. Mm-hmm. And so he's expanded his location. He used to have a warehouse that he opened once a month and then his retail store. Well, he's kind of merged it all into one location now, and
yeah.
The warehouse stuff is in the basement, and the other stuff is upstairs on the top floor, and he's expanded his gaming area and stuff like this, and he's mm-hmm. made a very nice delineation line. That's where the gamers and the magic card people are, and this is where the comic book people are.
Yeah.
And there shall the two meet.
Yeah. It's nice. Nice, clean, crisp. It's a great store.
Yeah, yeah.
Tons of stuff. Like, tons of great books.
Oh, man. Just, we went into the basement?
Yeah.
Oh,
those half-priced old books just kill us.
Oh, we found some great books. Some Marvel Star Wars that we were missing. I found a New Gods from the Silver Age that I was missing.
Yeah.
Or is New Gods Bronze Age?
Probably Bronze.
I feel like it's like the beginning-ish of the end of the Silver Age when the first ones came out, because they were 12 Sunners.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah. I found a New Gods I needed. I found a Mr. Miracle I needed.
Yeah.
The aforementioned Star Wars. So it was pretty good. It was all right.
Star Wars, Green Lantern, Uncanny X-Men, Brave and the Bold.
Like, you remember on several occasions I said on the book face once in a while, I'd be like, darn, I really wish there was a place like Big B's Basement or mm-hmm. the Kitchener Warehouse of Love locally. Because I just, you know, you're bored. You want to, like, dig in a pile of comics and just find miscellaneous weird gems like Captain Victory or something silly like that from Pacific Comics or Mystery or something like this. Well, it's closer. It's Whitby now.
Yeah. So, and he's still adding. They're not done. Yeah.
Still adding. Putting all sorts of original art all for sale up on the walls and stuff. And mm-hmm. his trade paperback section is massive. And he's got all the newer trades and hardcovers upstairs and all the older ones downstairs in the basement.
Yeah.
So it should be fun.
Yep, yep.
But the Wi-Fi is a little spotty in the basement.
Yeah.
He said he was fixing it, but it was kind of funny watching the guy holding the Interact terminal at the weird angle while licking his teeth and holding up a coat hanger up against him. I haven't seen that since we used to watch TV on antennas, right?
Rabbit ears.
Martin, hold the antenna. Don't let go.
Martin.
But I want to see too.
Oh, man. And we stopped in at the Undercover Geek as well, right?
Yeah. Philip at Undercover Geek. He's right on the edge of Clarington, Oshawa on, what is that, King Street? Harmony and King?
Oh, no, King. It goes right into Bowmanville.
Yeah, on King Street there.
Highway 2, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, Highway 2. Yeah, exactly. I think it's King Street on the Oshawa side. I'm not sure if it is on the Clarington side, but like right there, the intersection... Next sort of driveway over, his store's getting nicer and nicer. He's got a little video game section, but we're not video gamers, so that's okay. But
I mean, it's a great room. Like, he's doing birthday parties and stuff back there, and it's full of computers and gaming consoles. So
if you want to book a PS4 birthday, phone Philip at Undercover Geek.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's got some good comics and stuff. Not a lot of back issues yet.
I mean, it's a pretty young store.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy. I tabled next to him in Coburg at the Coburg Toy Con last fall. Great. He was there with his family, and his kids bought all the Aurora Man comics, so nice. He's all right in my books.
Yeah. Well, obviously he's still bringing stuff in, right? Like, I'm sure he's out there looking and buying, because when we were there before, there was... none of the Ghostbuster action figures that I've been collecting. And we walk in there, he's got four of them. And when they came out, they were like $40. And I always told myself, okay, I'm going to get all 12, but I'm not paying more than 20. So I look, and 15 bucks each, and he had one I needed. It was sweet, awesome. Yeah, so that was good. And
while you're there,
just across the street is the Deadly Grounds Coffee Shop Cafe.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Such good coffee. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
It seems busy in there.
Oh, so good. I love Deadly Grounds Coffee.
While we were at Undercover Geek, I saw this, and I thought, you know what? I haven't picked that up. I forgot it was coming out, and he had two copies, one of each cover, Batman Damned.
Oh.
So I picked it up.
There you go.
And I read it, and now it's gone insane.
Sam at Grey Guardian had a copy. When I picked up my comics, he asked me if I wanted one, and I didn't pre-order it either. And I got tempted by the size, by the format, because it's magazine size.
Tempted by the size of the bat penis?
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
So for anybody who doesn't know, Batman Damned is a Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo. I'm going to get in trouble for mispronouncing that. Miniseries, three issues. Hardcover form, magazine size, coming out from DC's new Black Label imprint, so adult comics and stuff.
Yeah, if you do your research, it says DC Black Label.
This is an adult book. It was what, $8.99 US?
Oh, it was, yeah, it was a doozy.
Or $9.99 US. So it's not like priced. Well, apparently in the issue, Batman, I can't remember the details, spilled something on his uniform or something like that? Or,
well, he was all beaten up to crap. So
he's taken off his uniform in the Batcave, and there's a Bat-a-Wang incident.
Bat-a-Wang. Right there, people.
There's a Bat-a-Wang incident.
Yep.
And the world went nuts.
Yeah.
They are so bored after all the hubbub of Janet Jackson's nipple at the Super Bowl died down, what was that, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
That now they found something else to freak out about. So it's the Bat-Wang, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it's Batman's penis, first time in comics. So this
first
is
appearance.
Gonna be a key issue.
It's not a cameo.
What's this thing going for on eBay now? 100 something bucks?
I saw one sell for 200, and that was like a week.
For 200?
Yeah, it sold for 200 US or 200 Canadian.
Oh my gosh! All because it's the first appearance of Batman's penis.
All, yep.
So today,
well, not quite all because, but because I mean, there was 150,000 printed.
Yeah.
Right, which apparently they're all gone.
Yeah.
So everybody wants one now. So the price is going crazy.
So I can't remember whether it was this morning or yesterday. I opened it up because I hadn't read it yet. I got my copy, and I opened up to read it. And honestly, because of all the hubbub and stuff that was going on, I was expecting, you know, Dirk Diggler. I was expecting like a man sausage dangling between somebody's knees.
Like one panel. Just one panel zoomed right in.
One, yeah, just this big, you know, I was expecting Dr. Manhattan-sized blue balls and nuts hanging there.
Yeah.
You know, just this big, huge schlong-a-dong-a-ling-long, just burn,
the shirtless bear fighter without the little
exactly.
marks over it.
I was expecting like this, and I was expecting it to have like those scoopy things that he's got on his gloves.
Yeah.
I was expecting those on there, a little mask on the tip and stuff.
Yeah, the logo.
And then I finally find the panel. It was hard to find the panel in the first place. I finally find it, and it's the ever so slightly too. It's all blacked out because it's in silhouette, right? The light's coming from behind.
Yeah.
And there's these two darkish, brownish, grayish little highlights. Just this.
Yeah.
It's like somebody took a brush and went,
yeah,
right there. And I'm like, that's it? That's what you guys are freaking out about?
If you wanted to get technical, I think it's actually in three frames. But as much as it is,
that's what
you can't see it.
Freaking out about?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's no doubt it's a penis. Like, you know, it is what it is. But I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And this
are
is...
Are you this, serious?
This is what you call hype, people.
Oh, it's not just hype. See,
when
I got a bit of a weird perspective on this because I was raised by Europeans and, you know, we're like heavy metal magazine, right? Like, that's comic books in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, Judge Dredd and this kind of stuff, like, give me a break.
No, but I mean, my point, like, people are going on Facebook and saying, I'll trade you my Batman Damned for any key issues of The Flash. And I'm like, okay, key issues of The Flash are always going to stay high.
Yeah.
This book is going to eventually go down, down.
Ridiculous.
Who in their right mind would trade a key issue, first appearance of Wally West for a Batman penis?
Like, so... And,
come on.
And like I said, you can barely see the darn thing. Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's small. It's just drawn in such a way that it's basically just highlights. It's not really actually drawn as a penis.
Yep.
And everyone's just going bananas. DC, of course, collapsed and said, "Oh, don't worry. On the digital copy, we'll black it out. We'll spend the extra 14 and a half seconds it takes in Photoshop to cover up those two lines so you can barely even see them. And we're not going to reprint the issue. And when it goes to trade, we're going to make sure you don't see the penis." And I'm like, "Oh, come on."
Well, originally they were going to do a second print and black it out. Yeah. But yesterday or whatever they said, "Yeah, now we're not going to do a second print."
Oh, don't even get me started on that part.
Who knows what that's going to do to the price? Like, I haven't even bothered. I mean, once it hits $500, I'm selling.
500? You can have mine now for 50.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the other news about Batman Damned is it's supposed to be a monthly book. Yeah, it's beautifully painted, and I'm sure it took a lot of time and stuff like this. But it's three flipping issues. Don't solicit it till it's done.
Yeah.
And
it's
already
delayed, right?
Now, it's been delayed. Has it been delayed because there's other adult content in the other two issues and they're going to touch those up?
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Lee, you know, needs a little bit more time to finish it. But long story short, it came out in September. The third issue is not coming out until March.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I had for... Well, I can't even remember whether I read this morning or yesterday. That's how bad my memory is. Do you think I'm going to remember what happened in issue one in March? Yeah. I'm already sitting on four copies of Doomsday Clock that I can't read until all 12 come out. Same thing with the Terrifics. That's up to seven issues sitting in a long box, a short box by my couch waiting for it to finish so I could read it all in one sitting. Well, I'm telling you.
Speaking of Doomsday Clock, on the bluer side of things, Dr. Manhattan
makes
his appearance full frontal. You know, there's his business, yet nobody says anything.
Yeah, nobody says anything when it's a blue wang, but when it's a bat-a-wang, it's like, ah, Batman penis, first appearance.
And unfortunately,
and look at this Joker shot with the flamethrower.
Yeah. And that's after the, what's her name, the girl there put a drill into the comedian's knee, which is okay to see. It's okay to see a drill being pushed into somebody's knee, but a penis, ooh, no way.
That's not even a penis. It's just two highlights. Like, look at that. There's no other way of saying this, but there's Dr. Manhattan's cock and balls.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Now,
for the world to see.
Batman has a little bit above him. But
it's colder where Dr. Manhattan is.
And you think he's Dr. Manhattan. Like,
it's colder where the doc is.
He should be having like three legs, don't you think?
No, it's a bit colder where the doc is. Dan.
You know what I mean.
Let's just say Batman is he's the Dark Knight detective.
That's right.
He's got, where does he get all those toys?
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I mean, honest to gosh, if somebody wants my copy, give me a jingle. You can have it cheap compared to eBay, because I'm just going to wait for the hardcover to come out, and I'll read it, and there'll be penisless, but I'll know it's still there, because every man has one, unless your name is John Bobbitt, you know? Unless there was some kind of a tragedy, I don't want to get into trouble with the folks that may or may not have lost a penis in Nam or something like that. But generally speaking, there's a lot of these things floating around on a lot of people on this planet. And for us to make such a big deal over seeing a couple of shadow lines on Batman, like, come on, in an adult comic book that's priced for adults, that's in an adult format. Like, this is why comics are dying. Like,
guess what? If you walk into a convenience store and buy a Playboy, you're going to see some nudity.
Come on. Oh, and I'm sure it's just because it's Batman. Like you said, nobody gives a hoot over Dr. Manhattan's a junk, but everybody's like just freaking out over Bat Schwang or the Bat a Wang. I've heard so many.
Oh, man.
I said on the internet this entire fiasco.
Circumcision.
This entire fiasco is ridiculous. Oh, we're not even going to talk about Richard Grayson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It just seems stupid. Like, honestly, somebody take my copy away from me, because it's just I'm gonna lose my collective poo here and just have an aneurysm on air. It's just I just don't get it. It's just a penis.
That's right. Well, maybe we should switch focus and talk about some pussy cats.
Jeez, Louise.
I missed a lot of the original Looney Tune crossovers with DC.
Hold on, I think there's somebody trying to throw a hammer. Innuendo. Innuendo.
I know.
All right.
So, picked up Catwoman and Tweeting Sylvester.
These crossovers are a hoot.
I read it tonight after work, and it's great. Like, some of them are silly, but this one, have you read this one yet?
No.
Like, by the end of it, it's basically Catwoman and Sylvester versus Black Canary and Tweety. But then they're calling out it's all about cat versus bird. So they're putting out the call. And next thing you know, you've got every single character that has anything to do with the bird versus any character that has anything to do with the cat. And there's like 50, 60 heroes fighting each other. Bat versus cat. Cat versus bird. It was just lots of fun, right? Like Hawk and Dove, and Robin was there, of course, you know, and Catman, is that what he is? The cat with the three claw marks?
Yeah, Catman.
But it's kind of funny because Sylvester and Tweety are drawn like actual cat and mouse.
Oh, yeah.
Or so they're not bird.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right? On the cover.
So the whole thing was perpetrated by some witches, which you kind of forget about because the story's kind of fun. But yeah, they actually look like. Now, in the back, there's like a 6-page story where it's drawn like the cartoon. So Catwoman's in there. She's drawn like a person, and Sylvester and Tweety are drawn like we know them. But it was just a lot of fun. It was funner than I expected.
What was that other one that was really good? Batman and the Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, which I still don't have. I haven't read it. I just, like, 2 weeks ago, I literally read Bugs Bunny and the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
That's how far behind I am. But I bought Joker and Daffy Duck. I haven't read, but it looks very creepy. And so does Lex Luthor and Porky Pig. The cover just looks so weird. I haven't read them yet, unfortunately, but...
They put out a collection, haven't they?
Of the first set, yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah, I think they did it the first set.
Yeah.
I noticed you got Justice League Dark there.
Yeah.
So I'll let you talk about that, because I read that, and I'm just loving that series. But also that came out this week was Justice League Odyssey.
Oh. The space.
Yeah, like Justice League had their little crossover thing, No Justice. I really didn't pay attention to it, because, again, it's one of those throwaway DC... This changes everything, like Heroes in Crisis, which we can talk about as well, because I read that.
Yeah, I haven't read that yet.
But out of it came the Justice League comic, Justice League Dark, which is like a magic thing, and then Justice League Odyssey, which is a space thing, and this has Doomsday in it, Darkseid, which was kind of weird, but he looks more superhero-ish than Darkseid is normally drawn.
Yeah.
Starfire... Jessica Cruz version of Green Lantern, Cyborg, and Azrael. The guy who took over
That's where he's been.
Yeah, the guy who took over for Batman for a little while there in, what was it, Nightfall?
Yeah.
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 Like, back in the 90s.
Like, I remember reading the Azrael comic book because I always thought he was kind of a cool character, but I didn't think he was a space character.
He's not.
So I read the first issue, and it was actually really good. Like, it was good enough for me to say, hey, I want to keep reading this.
Yeah.
Not as good as Justice League Dark, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, and you can kind of, and this has kind of been said before, is why is Wonder Woman in Justice League Dark? But it's part of the story, right? It's part of, she's why the team is together, basically. But
Now, even if you think about it, I mean, Wonder Woman, she's the Olympian gods, and she was made out of clay, and she's got a magic lasso. They even call it the magic lasso. That gets people to tell the truth, and she's got these bracelets that deflect bullets and stuff. And so this is basically saying, you know what? Wonder Woman is basically a magic-based character as opposed to a science-based superhero in the DC universe. So in Justice League Dark, if I'm not mistaken, even though I said I was going to let you talk about it, I'm going to talk about it anyways. Something's gone wrong with magic, and it's not behaving the way it should. So the magic people are all like, well, we got to fix this before anybody finds out.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman's got a little group of magic-type characters that are trying to, you know, figure it out as well, but not in secret, right, as opposed to the magic guys being all secret. And it's got Dr. Fate in it. Oh, I love Dr. Fate. He's not in enough stuff.
But is it Dr. Fate? Anyways.
Yeah, that's a spoiler.
But it also has Man-Bat.
Oh.
No magic, but he's cool.
Man-Bat's awesome.
Bobo. I call him Detective Chimp because I can't take him serious.
Bobo the Detective Chimp.
Swamp Thing. Zatanna.
Is it Swamp Thing? Oh, excuse me. Is it Swamp Thing or is it like Swampy Aquaman played by Jason Momoa thing?
No, Swampy. It's Swamp Thing.
Because if you look at him,
something
he's
different.
He's looking a lot Jason Momoa. He's got like the big long
dreads.
He actually
has a face, yeah.
He's got a face.
Like a human-ish face. But it's good. Like, issues 1 and 2 have been really solid. It's a great read.
I think I'm up to issue 4, is it? What issue came out?
Oh, see, I'm way behind. I saw number 2 and went, oh, yeah, I forgot about it. So, okay, I got to put that down. I need 3 and 4.
So, hold on.
So you know more than I do.
Here's the issue that came out. Justice League Dark 3.
Okay. So,
Justice League Dark 3 came out. So, I mean, this is one of the things about this is the difference between DC and Marvel as far as nostalgia goes, right? Like, you guys are watching the Runaways TV show, and you're like, oh, I remember the Runaways, and this was really good. And Runaways was its own book.
Mm-hmm.
DC, when they do stuff like this, like they did the Seven Soldiers of Victory. No, it was just called the Seven Soldiers by Morrison.
Morrison, yeah.
And they dragged up all these weird and obscure characters like the Bulleteer and stuff like this. Justice League Dark. Bobo the Detective Chimp, for Pete's sakes.
Yeah.
Man-Bat. I know Man-Bat had his own comic book series for 2 issues back in the early 70s. But, you know, like, it's just these weird characters like Azrael in Justice League Odyssey. And it kind of works.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really digging them. But again, the nostalgic value is pretty high. Like, I don't even remember when was the last time I saw Dr. Fate in well done in a comic book. And he's kicking butt in this one. I really like what they've done with him.
So since issue 3 is out, I have questions about 2.
Yes.
Well, I have one specific question because I know a little bit about Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
But when Man-Bat in his human form knocked over that vase with a kid on the side of it, and the kid popped out.
Yeah.
And he said, who are you? And he said, I used to be Dr. Fate. I'm like, huh?
What? Yeah, yeah. For,
so who's
for,
that?
For a brief minute there, Dr. Fate has always been like Kent Nelson.
Yeah.
Egyptianologist who finds the helmet of Naboo, sticks it on, and he gets possessed by Naboo. And, then in the 90s, there was like an extreme version of Dr. Fate, where instead of a helmet, it was a sword.
That's the guy with like the face tattoo.
Yeah, he had the weird face tattoo stuff. And I cannot remember whether that was Kent as well, just like a screwed up version, like they keep screwing up Hawkman.
Right.
And then I'm going to say, was it just before New 52 or just after New 52? See, now my brain isn't working right. Dr. Fate came back again, and it was literally a kid in a blue hoodie.
Oh,
jeans!
I missed that.
Running
completely.
Shoes and the helmet and the amulet.
Okay.
And the kid that's on the I can't remember his name. It's going to be something Arabic that I can't pronounce, anyways. But he was Dr. Fate for a little while in that series.
And somebody trapped him on the base. I'm assuming it was Naboo.
Yeah, spoilers, Naboo traps both Kent and this other Dr. Fate in jars because he's taken over his persona completely, and he's basically trying to backstab Wonder Woman and crew here about this. So he ends up being the bad guy in this as far as messing up magic. But it's only issue 3, and it's pretty good. I don't know if it's supposed to be a limited or a continuation. This is just the first arc, but I'm digging it.
I'm sensing it's going to be a rotating team. Like, Constantine's in there, too, kind of in the background a little bit. Not helping out very much. Just throwing out his opinions.
Yeah, being John Constantine.
Yeah.
So I'm digging it. I thought it was great. I thought it was great. You know what I don't think is great?
I can think of a few things, but...
The new Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah,
Do you know why I don't like it? Because I never get any copies. Like, I don't know what happened there, but I'm missing issue 2, 3, 4, and 5. Back-ordered 5. I ended up getting that. 6 came this week. 3 and 4 I picked up in Oshawa when we went to Oshawa. Whitby. And then number 2, I'm like, I'm still missing number 2, so I had to find number 2. And I just, it's been, all the momentum of the series has been sucked out of my, like, the wind's just been sucked out of my sails for it, because I just haven't had a chance to read it. It's been just this weird, like, it's just like an Image book that comes out, and it's really great, and then after the 4th issue, you know, another one doesn't come out for 6 months, and it just kills the momentum, so.
Yeah, well, it's kind of I've said this before, that I'm so far behind, and I get so busy, and I, like, issue 1 of Justice League comes out, and I like it, and I'm thinking, this is going to be a good series, and literally the next thing I know, they're up to issue 6, and I've got 1, right, it's like, so I've been able to go where I got those at Another World, right? Like 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I still haven't read them, but at least I have them.
Yeah, like, it's just...
I just keep forgetting stuff, like Justice League Dark.
Yeah, like, Terrifics is a perfect example. I read the 1st issue, and I thought it was really cool. And then I think we're up to issue 7, and I haven't read any of them. It's just been a weird disaster, kind of strange... I don't know, it's... The momentum's not there. I don't know what happened, but it's just hard to follow. Same thing happened with Fantastic Four. I'm missing issue 2.
Oh, I got that for you at my place. I forgot.
And it's like, I don't know why issue 2 got short shipped or why it's missing or what's going on there, but all of a sudden it's like, no, you know what? You don't get to read this. No, you don't get to read this.
Did you guys check out the new Kirkman series, Die, Die, Die?
I got issue 1 and 2, and I read issue 1. I thought it was not too bad.
Yeah.
And then issue 2 came in, and it wasn't really, but it did kind of. And then I said, screw this. I'm not going to take it off my list, because issue 2 took a while to come in for some strange reason. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, Die, 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 issue 3's coming out. I want issue 3. And Sam's reminding me at Grey Guardian. He's like, no, you dropped that, man. So
did you read 2?
I haven't read 2, but no. I have issue 1 and 2 if anybody needs it.
It doesn't get much more violent as a comic book goes. Yeah. Like, it is very, very violent. And this issue 2's been out for a while, so I'm going to say it. I'm sorry, it's a spoiler. But there's at least... They're twins. I think they're actually triplets. The main character are actually triplets. But the one guy was being held captive. And I missed it, but I thought his one brother was trying to rescue him. But
aren't they twins?
Well, they're like triplets. I think there's 3 of them.
Oh, okay.
So the 2 brothers,
makes sense. Die, die, die.
Yeah, the one that's going to rescue, I thought was going to rescue him, was wearing this suit. The guy that was captured has had his nose cut off, and he's beat up to crap, and he's mostly naked. So the 2 brothers start fighting on the roof, where the helicopter's taken off because the bad guys are leaving or whatever. The 2 brothers start fighting. The guy in the suit wins, but he kills his brother. He then strips down, and he's already bruised and beaten because of fighting with his brother, and then he cuts off his own nose and takes his brother's place. I'm going, oh my God, what is happening? He cut off his own nose just to be his brother. I guess so. I don't know. It was like, oh. And then there's this old lady that's kind of in charge, some senator behind the scenes, and she's just mental too. And it's like,
something funky's going on.
Cut off his own nose. But I think issue 3 was out this week of Extreme, is it called? Yeah, it's called, no, Extermination, the new X-Men crossover. Extermination, that's what it's called. I've been really enjoying that. I thought it was just going to be the 5 kids X-Men Blue in a series, but it's not. It's like all the X-Men in a series, and it's like I'm reading a Marvel X-Men comic, and I'm going, wow, did that just happen? Holy crap. And it has been a long time since I read that, right? Like, I think 3 was out. But it... I don't want to spoil... I hate spoiling things because, you know... But, I mean, the solicitations for future issues have already spoiled it anyways. But Cable dies in the first issue. He's killed by this mystery person. But the mystery person is trying to get all the kids together, I think, to send them back to where they belong, which is awesome because that's where they need to go. But the third one, the second one he captures is Angel. And he's got Angel tied up, like standing up, and he rips out his wings. Like, because he has the version of young Angel in X-Men Blue has these mechanical wings with these energy. Like I can't remember how he lost his wings, but so this bad guy, he just, and you see the wing being ripped out of the Warren's back and going, this is awesome. Why can't Marvel write more stuff like this? But I think issue 3 was it. I haven't picked it up yet, but hopefully they keep going like that.
Well, this is all going to tie into and lead into the new Uncanny X-Men series, yeah. Right?
I'm really hoping it sends the kids back to where they belong and they go bye-bye. But I don't know. We haven't really seen them because they've been soliciting Uncanny X-Men, right? So I don't know if...
I'm gonna get you to type in that nasty site that we're not supposed to talk about where you can actually read comics online without paying for them. But we're not going to tell anybody what it is. You can do your own Google search.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, death seems to be a theme right now. You know, in Extermination, they killed Cable. What's it called? Heroes in Crisis just came out. Did you get a chance to read that, Dan?
I didn't read it, but I saw... I was reading through some Bleeding Cool articles.
I have not picked it up yet, but I want to read it.
So the basic premise there is that there's a halfway house for superheroes with PTSD is basically what it is. And they go out onto this farm and they hang out and they talk with each other and they get therapy and stuff like this. So that's the idea behind it. And then something happens and this is like the whole crisis, this whole heroes in crisis thing. And the two characters are Booster Gold and Harley Quinn. And Booster's been having a rough time. Like, he was in that Batman issue.
Yeah, which was awesome.
A couple of issues of Batman, which I need to reread because I read them, but I didn't get the story out of it. Like, something was wrong there. My brain was in the wrong frame of mind or something. I want to reread it. But basically, Booster decides to give Batman a present by bringing his parents back. Even though it's the death of the parents that literally creates the character of Batman. Yeah. And it all implodes, and it just
Booster Gold caused the whole thing to happen.
Yeah,
that's just the best part.
It's just a big, huge crisis, and it's just a disaster. And Booster basically has a mental breakdown because of it, so he gets to go to this.
It's a direct tie into that.
Yeah, so he goes to this sanctuary thing. Well, apparently everybody dies in sanctuary. I don't know why everybody dies, but everybody dies in sanctuary. Now, by everybody, we mean guys we didn't care about. Like, I'm a Wally West Flash kind of guy. More issues of Wally West Flash were published than Barry Allen Flash when Geoff Johns decided to rebirth and bring back Barry Allen. So I'm kind of biased that way. Like, I like Wally West. But what they've done with the character since Flash Rebirth has just been a disaster. Like it's like Donna Troy from the Teen Titans. For many years, she wasn't Wonder Girl anymore, and it was like, okay, now she's like an Atlantean. Now she's a Dark Star. Now she's, you know, this, that, and her code name is still Donna Troy. And
yeah,
I mean, it was what, Troika for a little while. Like, they just don't know what to do with the character. So they killed off Wally West, or did they? You know, I mean, right. It looks like he's dead, but is he really dead? I don't know. And again, the interwebs goes nuts. I'm like, you guys don't care about Wally West. You never did. Give me a break. Shut up.
Oh, man, I hope I can still find a copy.
Well, I'm sure you can.
It just came out Wednesday, right?
Yeah, like literally the farm field is covered in dead bodies. Who's all dead? Spoilers. Who cares?
I only saw Roy Harper.
Speedy Arsenal Roy Harper. Again, another character that they keep messing with and changing his name and giving him different story. He's
cutting
dead.
Cutting his arm off.
Yeah.
You know, he cut his arm off, then his arm is back all of a sudden. I don't know. But there's just a whole bunch of characters like that that are all dead. And the mystery of the story is, you know, well, who killed him and how is that all coming about? And so Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are going to be investigating.
Sorry, let me see that again.
They're going to be now, investigating.
Were those the only two, like, big character deaths?
Well, that's why I'm trying to pull up the pirate site, because I don't have the issue in front of me, which I legitimately bought. But I was just trying to pull up the images of the field, because Steel is there.
What?
But Iron Steel, not Superman
John
Steel.
Irons?
Not John Irons, but the other Steel. The one from the JSA and stuff. With,
oh,
with
Steel.
The,
just
yeah, just Steel.
It's on the Legends of
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
Legends of Tomorrow. And that character's gone through three or four revisions, so I can't tell you which Steel it is, like his name. But he's on the ground. Yeah, we're just having technical difficulties.
I love that. I typed Heroes in Crisis into Google, and it brings up a thing. DC Comics kills fan-favorite characters in Heroes in Crisis.
There you go. So who's all dead in it? Does it say?
I'm reading. You didn't stall. You didn't stall enough.
Heroes in Crisis. Yeah, you guys go ahead and talk amongst yourselves. We're going to be doing our little thing here for a few seconds. And talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves.
It's coffee time. Coffee time. Talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, so this well, is that can... what you're looking for?
Yeah. So who's all there? So that's Steel is there.
Oh. They said Blue Jay.
Oh, Blue Jay from...
I don't know who Blue Jay is.
He was from Crisis on Infinite Earths, that one Earth that a bunch of people came over from.
Geez, I don't know that guy.
Pariah was from that planet.
No, Pariah.
Blue Jay was from that planet. So yeah, Blue Jay's dead.
There's a Green Lantern.
Some kid in a hoodie. I don't know who that is. Some golden chick with a black mask and some aquatic kid, Triton or something. I don't know. That sounds right. No, I think Triton's an Eternal, isn't he? Anyways.
I saw something saying that, like, maybe somebody thought that, like, Kyle Rayner was dead, but I don't see anything in this that would be...
I know I didn't see Kyle when I was reading it. So I don't think it was Kyle.
But, like, also, this is just Superman. This is a weird panel. Because it's Superman in the air using his supervision to see one spot in the field where there's dead bodies.
Yeah, so you don't see everybody who could possibly be dead.
But, like, because there's a circle that's all magnified in front of Superman.
Yeah, so there might be more people in there.
There's a circle. Yeah, so there's definitely more bodies
like
down there.
Like, just the opening sequence in the cafe where Harley and Booster meet each other. I mean, it's just hilarious. Like, I'm digging it. And a lot of people were down on this issue, and they're like, oh, you've ruined my childhood.
Okay, wait. There. There's a Green Lantern symbol on somebody's chest.
Oh, there is.
Off to the side.
Oh, no.
That's hidden. But, yeah, so the write-up says, Hotspot, Blue Jay, Lagoon Boy, and Citizen Steel.
Citizen Steel.
Yeah. In this one.
So Citizen Steel's the younger son of the original Steel, isn't he, or something?
Yeah,
grandson?
Yeah, grandson.
So, yeah, like, the other thing is they kind of do this little flashback in the issue where each of the characters that dies has a little, you know, like an AA-type moment when they're in therapy. Hmm. So I saw Blue Jay's little moment there. Oh, my gosh, that is a Green Lantern symbol, because they are not showing everything.
Let's
There's
see.
Some wings.
Let's see.
So, yeah.
Oh, no.
So who is that?
Oh, no.
But I don't know. I stopped reading Green Lanterns, and I don't remember what happened to Kyle Rayner.
I have no idea.
He's not the White Lantern anymore, right?
That's the last time I saw him.
Yeah. So, yeah, this the kid in the hoodie, his name is Hotspot, whoever the heck that is. So yeah, there's Superman going, oh, what was his name? He had a real name. I can't remember what his real name is. It's not Hotspot. I dug it.
Yeah.
I dug the issue. Like, again, people are like peeing on is it Tom King?
Yeah.
Yeah. Peeing on Tom, saying that his Batman was a joke and that whole wedding thing was no good. Yeah, there's, There's oh, the mask. Whose mask is that? Is that Psycho Pirate's mask?
It looks like it.
But Wally West and Roy Harper are here. Like, that's the other thing is, we're sitting here, oh, who is that? What's this? What's that? What's going on here? What's this? Like, this is exciting. It's interesting comics. It's fun to read. It's not like the same old, same old. Like, I said that to somebody. Somebody was like, yeah, this is junk. This is crap. Tom King. And I'm like, oh, you must be one of those guys. This was in reference to the Mr. Miracle series. I'm like, oh, you must be one of those guys who, like, superhero and superhero meet, and there's a misunderstanding. So then they fight. But during the fight, they realize that they're actually on the same side. So then they stop fighting, and they go actually defeat the bad guy who's laughing at them for fighting. Scene. You know, how many times have we had that team up?
Yeah.
So I thought it was a great book. I'm definitely reading them. But.
I was going to say it, but you say it.
Martin Bruta prediction. Each issue is going to be later and later.
And two issues have been added.
Two issues have been added. And fill-in artists are going to be called in. And the whole thing's going to be spoiled before the end by some other series that comes out that is on time. And
3 months from now, you're going to be talking about how you're dropping it.
Exactly.
And not going to be, you're going to wait for the trade paperback.
Exactly. Because that's what always happens. I mean, you can't just center out Marvel for this because DC does it too. But, I mean, what was it? What was the one where the Fantastic Four dies?
Secret Wars.
Was that Secret Wars?
Yeah, the third Secret Wars.
And that got spoiled months in advance.
Yeah, because all the new issues were coming out.
Yeah, all the new issues came out, and it's just like,
Yeah, it's... There's definitely something wrong with the publishing... I don't know.
Well, it's all the hype machine, right? Like, Marvel and DC would not do anything that doesn't earn money and earn sales. So if people would stop buying number one issues in droves and then dropping the title by the third issue, then Marvel wouldn't be on their sixth renumbering and reboot in this decade.
Yeah.
You know, because... The Marvel guy even said at that one sales summit, it's like, you know what? We put in a new creative team on an issue 13. Nobody gives a crap. Yeah. We cancel it at 12, start with a new number one with this new creative team that we're going to put in, and all of a sudden sales are jumping all over the place. And we'll make 20 variant covers, so everybody will buy variants and stuff. Like,
do people still buy variants?
I think they like do.
So you far know, out of the loop, I don't even know anymore.
I only get, I won't say his name, doesn't matter. I try to stay away from variants as much as possible. I picked up issue one of The Return of Wolverine. But I picked up the Scotty Young variant. I didn't buy the regular cover. But I don't know, what part of me was so close to buying all those. Issue one had 8 different covers with all the different versions of Wolverine, like Patch and One Hand Missing from Age of Apocalypse. Like, they were pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, but you're buying them because they're cool.
Yeah.
And you've got a love for the character and you dug the art.
Yeah.
You're not buying, like, literally, I saw a post on Facebook. Some kid, like, he's like, comic books this Wednesday. Which ones should I buy multiple copies of? Which ones are going to be hot?
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Like, do your research in the first place. Don't get people to do it for you. And B, cut it out with this nonsensical garbage speculating. It's just, as someone who lived through the 90s, and I know some people have, you know, arguments, it's not quite the same as the 90s and stuff like this. It is. It's killing us. It's killing us.
Yeah.
You know, what's going to happen? And some Chapter House is a perfect example of this. Some publishers are beginning to realize that the next audience for comics are not us, it's teenagers. Scholastic is doing this massive, huge business. Like, you go into a Chapters bookstore, the graphic novels for teens section is on a totally different section than our Batman and Superman comics, and it's bigger.
Yeah, it's huge.
Babysitter Club, Lumberjanes, like, all these, I don't even know them all.
Yeah.
And, like, my daughter, she's reading these books, and I thought she was just reading books, 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 and then the next thing I know, I picked one up by accident, I looked at it, it's a graphic novel. I'm like, you're reading comics. She goes, yeah, Dad, you see that big, huge bookshelf of books you've been buying me this whole time? Those are all comic books. And Chapter House came out with, what was that street one? Queen Street?
Yeah.
Queen Street book, that kind of design aesthetic, that kind of paper, that that kind of format. And they're realizing that that's where the future is. So if we keep sabotaging the superhero side of business, and these publishers start realizing, like Disney, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Disney's entire life is appealing to kids. They're going to, like, let go of our publishing division, and we're just going to be an afterthought, and they're going to go nuts with this stuff. As opposed to what should happen is they go nuts with that stuff because that's great. That's the new generation. But also print like a Superman book in that format and mm-hmm. a Batman book in that format. And that solves my dilemma of, oh, issue 1, issue 6, issue 9. I forgot this. I forgot that. You pick up a graphic novel. Original graphic novels. Just come up with original graphic novels.
Mm-hmm. I think this should be mentioned. I think I'm surprised you haven't brought it up yet.
We got 4 minutes left. We have to mention Mr. Norm Breyfogle passed away at 58. He had a stroke, if I'm not mistaken, in 2014, and this is complications from that. And for many of us, this guy was the 1990s Batman artist. He drew Batman. He drew Detective. He drew Shadows of the Bat. And, you know, invented the ventriloquist, or co-invented the ventriloquist with his writing partner at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, just a great artist, a nice guy. I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about him. Like, you hear people saying bad things about Steve Ditko. You hear people saying bad things about John Byrne. And Neil Adams has an attitude and all this sort of stuff. Even though they're all three of them are great guys, they can be a little bit polarizing. Norm, I've never heard anyone say anything but nice things about Norm.
Yeah.
Ever. You know, nobody, I've never heard anybody complain about working with him. I don't remember books being super, super delayed because of his diva-like behavior, like some creators. And, mm-hmm. you know, he just seemed like a really nice guy, had a lot of trouble towards the end, and it's unfortunate that he passed.
Yeah.
That brings a little bit of a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
Dribbled down
young,
my cheek.
Too. Like Darwin Cook, man. And Michael Turner.
Gosh.
They were all young, too.
Yeah, again, you know, Darwin Cook. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Darwin Cook.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. This whole Comicsgate nonsense that are trying to attribute certain comments that he made to inappropriately, and his wife has, like, said, you guys are on glue. That's totally wrong. That's not what was implied and out of context and stuff. So yeah. Other than that craziness, which I completely disregard and don't believe, nobody's ever said anything bad about Darwin either. I mean, he's just been a stand-up, just a great guy.
Yep.
So, yeah, like, it's my birthday in 2 weeks, and I'm looking at this, you know, 58, he passed away. He had a stroke 4 years ago. That's 54. I'm like...
Except for the young guy over there with the red beard, you and I are pretty close.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Dan's like, what, 26?
Yeah, if I shave, I'm 12.
There you go.
No, you know, I feel, yeah, I get it. I'm getting up there. I mean, I'm going to be 38 in a few months. And
oh, to be 38.
Oh, I know, but, you know.
When I was 38. Oh, man, like it just, you know, a lot of shit has happened this year. And to see where I am right now in life compared to, you know, people half my age, it's just like, oh, mm-hmm. man. Jeez Louise.
Yep.
But we're not dead yet.
Nope.
We got a few things we still got to do.
Yep.
So shouldn't be too bad.
Including another show next week.
Yep. I think we got...
How are we going to do that if you guys are in Kitchener?
Oh, we'll figure it out, but I think we've all right. got just enough time to do our closing theme, so...
Say
dead
it, Dan.
Silence.
Say it, Dan.
Say what? Tune just, in next week. Check yeah. us out on iTunes and Google Play.
There you
go. And talk to y'all later.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics radio show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?